Brad Sesmatt Show, broadcasting live from the Skyview Network Studios.
It's a good Thursday. Really looking forward to today's show. We have Jimmy Vaccaro from Vegas. Of course, the longtime bookmaker Eric was telling me they took in a $50,000 bet, Jimmy did, at South Point. The NFL getting started tonight. Of course, you guys are either into fantasy football or gambling on the games. That's what the NFL has become. We'll talk with Jimmy Vaccaro, long time from Vegas, on all that. I want to talk to him, too, about the Cardinals season and what Vegas is viewing the Cardinals as. So look forward to that. Because you have to have a life outside of sports, Goody at the movies. Goody will be with us. Sully, I don't know about Sully. Sully feels like it's the Tom Hanks movie. We'll talk to Bill about that, along with a couple of other movies. Sully feels like Titanic. The boat sinks. Got it. The plane goes down. Got it. I have to get past that, I guess, because I know what it's based around. And I've read some good things about it, so we'll talk to Bill, because I'm sure many of you are going to want to get out and see that this weekend. But look, everything's about the NFL tonight. It is the opening night of the season. Am I looking forward to watching Denver and Carolina? Sure. I don't have any fantasy players going tonight, so I have that against me. Am I just looking at old-fashioned football back and forth? It's fine. I'm very much looking forward to Sunday night with the Cardinals and Patriots, and we'll start there. I think this game has had so much buildup through the offseason. When the schedule first came out, it has nothing at all to do with Sunday Night Football for me. This has everything to do about a coach who is a certain Hall of Famer in Bill Belichick against a coach that is very, very good in his own right in Bruce Arians. It has everything to do about these two guys and their staffs looking at one another when the schedule came out in April, that you have all summer to look at. We're not opening with Tennessee. We're not opening with New Orleans, even with Drew Brees getting an extension, which, by the way, makes no sense long-term. It's putting off the inevitable. This has everything to do with these two coaches and what they can do against one another. This is a great chess match for me. As I'm watching the game Sunday night, it's going to be about chess match. What plays are being taken away? What plays are working? If you're the Arizona Cardinals, how much can you establish the run game with no Ninkovich in the middle there for New England? It's pretty simple stuff, because I have no doubt that Carson Palmer is going to be able to deliver the football to his wide receivers. There's a part of me around this game where I just want to see Carson Palmer go play a clean game, because the last time I saw him play in a regular season game, it was anything but clean. And the two preseason games, there was nothing there that made me look at it and say, okay, he's got it all figured out. That stuff is off to the side. But it's been a while. The organization has rewarded him with a big contract extension, right? So any of these guys that have been given the extension, yeah, I want to see Tyrann Mathieu on the field simply to see his health first and foremost. So I'll see him back healthy. I happen to like the comeback stories. I happen to like everything that he's gone through and been able to persevere and overcome. And the fact that he flat out balls out on the field makes it even better. Okay, I want to see him do well. But I don't know how he's going to do. Anybody who says, oh yeah, he's going to be just the same, I don't know that. They don't know that. Every player comes back differently. You can hope. As a fan, we're all hoping if we're fans of the team. I'm a neutral observer on this deal. I'm not invested in what the Cardinals do Sunday night. I'm not. I want to see them do well, obviously. But in what I do, it's pretty cut and dried. They play well, you say they play well. Didn't play well, you don't blame the refs. You don't blame everybody else. You look in the mirror. If they lose to Jimmy Garoppolo and New England, that's a bad loss. There is no other way to put it. No other way to spin it. It's a very good team that they're playing. It's a big number. It's a big line. But if they lose that game, I'm not going to sit here Monday and just be jumping up and down saying, see, I told you so. I've said here the entire offseason, give me Brady, don't give me Garoppolo. You lose to Brady, you lose to Brady. You lose to Garoppolo. Eric, am I seeing this right? Am I off on this one?
No, I think you're dead on.
Are you seeing it the same way?
Yeah. I mean, I guess it's you think you know what to expect on Sunday, but who knows what to expect, especially with Belichick. You just don't. You just, he's had all offseason.
Yes.
It's sort of like college where you have all this time to prepare for your first opponent and you just don't know what's going to happen. Like on paper, it's real easy to say, oh, the Cardinals are favored. No Tom Brady. They're playing at home.
Yeah.
It's going to be, they're going to be so hyped. It's going to be a great atmosphere, a huge crowd. Just be careful.
That's where I'm at on this.
Just be careful.
So here is Bruce Arians. Bruce Arians talking about Jimmy Garoppolo, the quarterback that the Cardinals are going to be facing on Sunday. Here is Bruce Arians.
Very athletic, very accurate. Not a real powerful, deep throwing arm, but very, very accurate. Gets out of his hand fast. And Tony was the same way coming out and had a lot of success early. Athletic with their legs. It got Tony broken up a little bit, but Jimmy's not there yet.
Not there yet, and if you turn around and hand the football off, if you do the dink and dunk, then you have Bruce Arians talking about the X factor and all this for the offense of New England. You just go through the players, and the guy that jumps out at you happens to be the best tight end of the game, and Rob Gronkowski.
He's going to make his plays. You just got to tackle him. The biggest thing with Gronk is getting him on the ground after he catches it, because if he breaks a tackle, it's a big play, and they thrive on running after the catch. We got to do a great job of tackling.
They call it yak, yard after catch. What is the yak? Are they yakking it up? So we're looking forward to that on Sunday night. And Malcolm Butler, Devin Butler, you know, the secondary of New England against the Cardinals offense. This is not brain surgery to break this stuff down. If Carson Palmer struggles in this game, can he work his way through it as a veteran quarterback? Again, I would like to just see a clean game out of Carson Palmer. You know, the way that last season ended where, oh, there's nothing wrong with my finger. And then there's just like a bunch of stuff that you look at and say, okay, this, if there clearly was something wrong and they just didn't want to talk about it. Upper body extremity injury. That's what's going to happen in the NFL before long. Lower body extremity. They're going to take the NHL model out of it. And we're not going to get any information out of any of these guys. And it's pretty much, that's the way it is now. Yeah, somebody's listed on the injury report. Oh, somebody wasn't listed on the injury report. What do you know? Oh, we're not going to talk about injuries. Oh, everything's fine. Well, no, it's not fine. So it's just not being truthful, honest on the injury reports. I get it. It's a team that's trying to make sure their players' ills aren't being let out to the opposition. I get it. It's just the transition, the morphing of sports. So when Carson doesn't play well last year, none of us can really definitively say what it had to do with the finger, because it was just not talked about. Just happened. Well, then what are we left to go to? So I just want to see him play clean. Drew Brees gets an extension of $44 million. Now, what's the guaranteed side of it? Does it make sense for the Saints? Boy, it's kind of like what's going on here. Okay? You have a really good veteran quarterback, and you just don't see where there's anybody out there on the horizon that makes sense for you. The Cardinals traded for Matt Barkley. The Cardinals drafted Logan Thomas. The Cardinals drafted Jay Coker. Any of those guys still around, E?
Well, they didn't draft Jay Coker. I mean, they signed him.
Yeah,
I got you.
No. Signed him out of the draft.
No.
None of them are here.
No.
So they're still searching,
yep.
Right?
Yep.
They paid Drew Stanton a whole lot of money to stay here. So it's kind of like New Orleans. You know, New Orleans brought Paxton Lynch in. They worked out Paxton Lynch. It didn't work out. He goes to Denver. Peyton Manning up and retires. So the Broncos are left to Trevor Siemian tonight in their opener against Carolina. That's why Carolina is a big favorite. Carolina's defense is going to get after him tonight. So when you find that quarterback, there's this delicate balance, I think, of, okay, we have our guy, so let's roll with this guy. And then there comes a point of, you know, we really should start looking for somebody else out there. I'd like to see the validation of the Carson Palmer extension come to fruition. I'm not saying we're bagging on Carson Palmer, but anybody who's being objective here and is not just wearing red colored glasses and see everything as that was the greatest move ever, and that was the greatest move ever, and that was the greatest move ever. Let's just see. prove me wrong. Go out and play a clean game against one of the top teams on the national audience we've had all offseason for. If Garoppolo wins, Palmer doesn't play well, Monday's not going to be pretty in Phoenix. Not just here, everywhere. Well, not everywhere. There'll be people making excuses. Tim Tebow signed with the Mets. So I thought Tebow to Atlanta. Pedro was saying last week, Tebow to Atlanta made sense. And I felt like that would with of course, being in the SEC. This smacks a little bit, to me at least, of, and Tebow's represented by CAA, Creative Artists Agency. CAA has Syndergaard, DeGrom, and Cespedes of the Mets already as part of their cadre of players. So when you have this type of group and you bring Tebow there, it kind of smells a little bit like PR, doesn't it? If we're going through
sure.
this.
Sure. Oh, yeah.
I mean, go to Atlanta. It's the South versus we're going to drop you down in Madison Avenue. And even if he can't play, don't you think the Mets call him up some point next season? Tebow on the back page of the Post and the News and the New York Times. It has kind of a feel. I would have liked to have seen him go to a place that is not a big market.
Someone had a great point on Twitter this morning. They said, so let me get this straight. Tim Tebow's fine taking a minor league baseball contract, but he completely shunned the idea of going to play in the CFL and sort of reinventing himself to try to get another shot at the NFL. And it's a point well taken.
Okay, but here's what I would say on that. Maybe Tim Tebow looks at it and says, I don't want to get my body beat up playing football, and I can go make a whole lot of money. It's like Devin Booker. I was doing something with Devin Booker yesterday, and he brought up the fact of baseball players make a ton of money, and it's not so hard on their bodies, and he could have gone that route.
Sure.
It's a very fair point. It's a very fair point for these players. So that caught my eye. Ryan Lochte gets a 10-month suspension by the International Olympic Committee in USA Swimming, but he can still be on Dancing with the Stars. So he's going to keep his name and face out there. 10 months means we don't really believe what happened down in Rio from their side. And Ryan's going to pay his price by not being allowed to swim because he's going to dance. He's going to get fat. He's going to go on the circuit. He's going to write a book. He's going to go on Oprah. He's going to go on Ellen. And then what do you know? He's going to be in the next Olympic Games. And they're going to do the sit down with him. And it'll be Bob Costas with the glasses, in a chair, in a two-shot, with a pink sweater. And he's going to say, I just didn't know what I was thinking. But Lochte's career after Rio took off. He went with Dancing with the Stars. He did the cha-cha. And, you know, all that stuff will go into play, and then he'll be back swimming. That's how this is going to go. It's very predictable. Very smart agents on his part. The other side of it is you can get off by having some good people, smart people in the business world, work you through adversity and just place you on a Dancing with the Stars show. It's crazy. We're going to get into a little bit later about Colin Kaepernick, Megan Rapinoe, and John Tortorella. I can tie those three together if I can just say it. We'll get into that, but next we're going to Vegas. Jimmy Vaccaro, the wisest of the wise guys, longtime bookmaker, South Point Casino Resort, odds maker, will check in from Vegas. Everything around tonight's game, he had a 50K bet brought into him the day before yesterday. I want to talk to him about that. And the Cardinals' view this season from Vegas. That's next. I'm Brad Sussmann. Let's go to Vegas now because it is the start of the NFL season, and I saw on Jimmy Vaccaro's Twitter feed, you can check it out, at Jimmy Vaccaro, of course, from South Point, 41 years, bookmaker. It's always good to catch up with Jimmy. We've been talking for 20-plus years now. $50,000 bet came in yesterday at South Point, Jimmy?
Yeah, sure. And first of all, obviously it's another year. We're both a year older, but we're still swinging, kids, so that's not too bad for our side of the ball. Make no mistake about it. And you are correct. It was one of our customers. He wanders in about four or five times a year. And when he does, he brings a lot of money. And he ran right to the counter, and me and Chris Andrews were there. And he wanted $50,000. And obviously, with a couple days to go before a big game like that, it wasn't too much of a problem to say, you know, okay. So we took the $50,000. And it's been a lot of money on that side in the last week and a half, but I would imagine there'll be some buyback tonight. It looks maybe a little bit too high, and the wise guys will be taking the plus three or if it goes to 3.5, they'll definitely jump on that. But it is football season, and yes, you get people like that all the time wandering in there, want to bet big money.
Jimmy, what's the largest amount that's been brought into you at one time?
$2.4 million.
Okay, and when was that? Do you remember?
That was when I was at the Mirage, and obviously the Mirage at that time was the mecca of of what you would consider maybe the new rebirth. Not that I was the only guy in the block there, but we had some unbelievable customers, and who knows, there were a lot of them, 500,000 and a million, but the biggest bet was $2.4 million.
And somebody brings in $2.4 million, what has to happen at the counter for that transaction to take place?
Well, when you get something like that, Brad, how it usually works out, again, a known customer, and he had spoken to me a few days ahead of time, but he kept trying to say what he wanted to bet, and I kept saying, don't tell me because you're in New York and I'm here. It's illegal to transport that information over the phone line. All I said is, like, you know, when you're here, you can make the bet if you give me at least a couple of days ahead of time. So what you do in those situations, he just wire transferred the money to the cage. So when the money got to the cage and he showed up, on that Saturday, it was easy. We just give them the ticket, go over to the cage. They give me a credit for that amount of money. So actually, those things are real easy because it's usually done in that form and fashion. You wire the money to the cage, makes his bet. We go over to the cage. He signs basically like a marker slip, and we kick off and see what happens.
Yeah, and can you share with me what the bet was on or not?
It was on the Super Bowl. It was the 1991 Super Bowl with the 49ers, and who did they play that year? They beat up like 55-10, and he did. All I know is that he
Bengals.
Won the
bet. Bengals?
Wasn't that 55-10? Chargers.
Chargers. That's right.
He had the other side. Yeah, he had the other side, but we had a lot of money on San Diego for this basic reason, Brad. San Diego, first time being there, ever, and being a short drive to Las Vegas, everybody from San Diego drove to Las Vegas to bet on their team. So actually, it was still a very good winning Super Bowl because the amount of money bet on that Super Bowl in comparison to the amount of money bet today. Pretty equal, so it was pretty outstanding Super Bowl weekend for us and everybody in Las Vegas.
One other question on this is, now with the Rams back in L.A., what's it mean for Vegas in terms of guys just driving up there for the weekend and laying it down? What do you think the financial impact will be having the NFL so close to you?
It won't be a major impact because, first of all, the team's not that good. And second of all, it's still the Rams. And, yes, it'll increase, but not a lot. The big jump will be if and when we get a Raider team in town. Now, that's a completely different story with the arena being, a mile away from the nearest place you can make a bet. The Rams will make a little bit of difference, but really nothing. Put it this way. We won't adjust anything like in power ratings, whatever, because they're in Los Angeles and we'll have some impact here in Nevada, but it really, really won't. But we'll see what happens. We'll adjust as it goes. But I'm betting right now that, like, it's minimal at best.
If the Raiders do come, Jimmy, what's it mean for Vegas?
First of all, I think it's just reinventing ourselves one more time. This industry, like every other industry, Brad, we're obviously trying to do things that obviously make people want to come. The appetite is there. People love it. I'm doing this big AGA, American Gaming Association, comes to town in 3 weeks, and there's tons of people there, and they're pushing nationally for nationwide betting. So that's the next big step, although it's a major one. The Raiders, Davis has no problem with the betting. The people in town who booked the bets have no problem with it because it really won't really have, like, well, let's look for something might happen because the casinos are that close. Remember, the NHL is here, although it's microscopic compared to the NFL. There's another big meeting today in downtown or in Las Vegas considering the tax thing that has to go with the building of stadium. But personally, and speaking to everybody in the city, it's about 70%. They would do it even if we had to pay a little bit more in taxes. It would mean that much. And also remember, besides the 10 games they would play here, Beckham was here making a pitch maybe for a few soccer games. There'll be big events there. But in all, me, as someone who's been around this racket my entire life, I really want to see an NFL team in Nevada just to show the naysayers, like, nothing crazy will happen because they're playing 100 yards away from where they can make a bet.
Jimmy Vaccaro with us from the South Point. That's the place to stay. Denver, Carolina tonight. What do you see? What's the view in Vegas?
All the square ball money, let me retract that, not square ball money. People, the recreational guys will be all over Carolina. A little revenge factor. Remember, this game's been up there for about 4 months. Yep. We opened it, Carolina, a one-point favorite, and now it's been up to three. We blasted 3.5 yesterday, and when we did, there was immediate money on the underdog. I would suggest we'll be rooting for the underdog come game time, but it won't be landslide, because there'll be plenty of money, plenty of action. And the precursor last week of what we saw with this great college weekend, people are all jacked up, and they'll come out in growth. I'll be rooting for the underdog in this spot. Not a bad spot, even with the new quarterback at the helm.
Arizona Cardinals, Jimmy Vaccaro from South Point. What do you see for Arizona this coming season from Vegas? What's the view in Vegas about the Cardinals?
Well, you guys are, you know, this is, you know, put up or shut up time for you guys out there. You're one of the highest rated teams as far as like season wins, 10 over the favorite. You're obviously a big favorite this week because of the Brady situation. But you seem to fumble the ball late. It's like you and the Bengals can't get over the hump. I know that you're very good. I know you're very talented on the offensive side. Carson Palmer is what he is, but you'll be a favorite in most of the games. You're just a slight underdog not to win that division. Seattle's first, and you guys are second, but not far behind. But I guarantee you lose a lot of faith if they don't come through this year and at least get to the Super Bowl. That's how I see it, buddy.
How about the game Sunday night, Jimmy, down here?
The Sunday night game down there, I would I got my sheet in front of me. Six. You're up to six.
Mm-hmm. And what's is that because of no Brady with Garoppolo? Are we talking quarterback here? Kind of like tonight's Carolina-Denver game where Carolina is favored because of the quarterback situation in Denver. Do you see some of that down here for Sunday night, Jimmy?
No, not really, only because you're talking about Belichick, who obviously has all summer to prepare this kid. We have a prop up. What would the record be after the first four games without Brady? And it goes from 20-1 to win them all to 20-1 to lose them all. Nah. But most of the money is coming in on. They'll be 2-2 after the first four. Belichick and the boys will be ready. And I know you'll be talking up a storm come Monday if they happen to lose to the Patriots. Yep. And you know what? Don't bet all your money on the Arizona Cardinals, because it's still Belichick, and Garoppolo's are playing fair. Is fair good enough? I don't think so. They have to play a little bit better, but I think the game's decided in the last 2 minutes, but we'll see what happens, my friend.
Thanks, Jimmy, as always. Appreciate the time.
Talk to you later.
There's Jimmy Vaccaro from Vegas, South Point. A lot of good stuff there. 50K bet. I just walk in. I'm going to put 50K down tonight. It's kind of fun. Good Eat the Movies comes up here shortly. Sports360AZ.com. We partner with the Arizona Republic, AZ Central Sports. I'm Brad Sussmat. Thanks again to Jimmy Vaccaro. We have Goody at the Movies coming up. Goody at the Movies with Sully, Transpectos, and other people. We got a movie invite next week to see Snowden. Have you seen the previews of that one, Ian?
I have. It looks good.
You want to go?
Yeah, and I want to see Sully. I know you were kind of poo-pooing it earlier.
Not sure.
But...
plane goes down. Got it. Do you want to go see Snowden next Monday?
Next Monday.
Your wife let you go? I'm asking you out on a date on the air.
Maybe.
You should go.
Next Monday.
I get these movie screenings. I can never find people to go with me, so I have to take my wife. You know?
Yeah, pencil man.
There's times where I just
is it in Albuquerque? Do I have to drive all the way across the country to go see a
$6
movie?
Well, from where you live, you can see Flagstaff from your house,
yeah.
and I can see Tucson from mine.
It's true.
So, no, I think it's midpoint.
Okay.
It's 101-202.
Okay.
Yeah.
Parkins?
Well, I'm not going to give it away. What, are you going to bring your cup and your popcorn bag?
Of course.
That's what I thought. We'll work the details out.
These are frugal days, you know?
They are.
We have to live lean sometimes.
You got that
you
right.
Know? The mortgage has to be paid every month.
That's it.
And if you can get free popcorn and a dollar of soda, you should take advantage of that.
Often.
Yeah.
Often. Daily.
Who am I to judge?
No question. Me either. The moment was surreal. The 3,000 fans gathered for the National Women's Soccer League game. 3,000 fans. FC Reign and Washington Spirit. Game was delayed because of lightning. The national anthem started playing 14 minutes before kickoff. Most people didn't think anything about it. Problem was Megan Rapinoe, who is one of the leading faces and voices, and I know where you guys are going to go with this. There are only 3,000 fans bothered to show up to see one of the leading faces, voices in women's soccer, who was standing alongside of Colin Kaepernick, or actually wanted to take a knee. This was the talking point of the news cycle in the last couple of days. She was going to show her expression of freedom of speech to support Kaepernick's protest. Instead, it didn't happen because the team that she was going to do it on their field, she was the visiting team, they decided to move the anthem up while she was still in the locker room. So she was pissed afterwards. I think that was pretty good. From there, the other story, John Tortorella on the hockey side said that he would not play a player, if we were to get specific with his quotes on this. Let me do that real quick. He would bench a player. No backing off out of bench players over the national anthem. So, you know, a coach is going to take his stand, and it is freedom of expression. If Colin Kaepernick wants to take a knee, the Seattle Seahawks reportedly this morning as a team are planning to do something around the anthem this weekend. Will we see any of that tonight with Denver and Carolina? From there, we go over to the college side of things in the news cycle today, and Goody in the Movies here in about 6 minutes. Greg Byrne is a very smart, sharp. We like Greg Byrne a lot, the athletic director at the University of Arizona. Now, the Wildcats did lose their opener at BYU against BYU in Glendale. The fact that Greg Byrne would take a home game, 45, 50,000 fans out of Tucson and move it to Glendale to market his program, or BYU, depending on how you look at it, because there are a lot of Cougs fans there. I like that. They have Big Bad Grambling State rolling in this weekend. Big Bad Grambling State has one of the best bands, if not the best band around. There's been movies made after them. You don't care about the band, but Greg Byrne actually tweeted about this on Monday morning that Grambling State is bringing their band. Now, U of A is very creative in what they do on the video side of things. Here is another installment from Greg Byrne. This tells you a little bit more why I like him a lot.
Hello, Peter. What's happening? When you go to your tailgate on Saturday, I need you to actually go into the stadium afterwards, like everybody else. I'll meet you at our house on Saturday. That would be great. Okay. Oh, and I forgot one thing. I'm gonna need you to stay for the entire game, okay? That way, you won't have to fib back at work when you miss one of the exciting plays. That'd be great. Thanks.
That's good.
Oh my gosh, it's so good.
You like it more than I think it's good.
Do you know what it references?
Give me the reference.
See, you don't know what it references. I bet if you knew what it references, you saw the movie.
It's a movie.
What it's
movie
Office Space.
Okay.
It's Office Space. Right. So to people that hadn't seen Office Space, it's probably not that funny. To everyone that saw the movie, it's as brilliant as anything that's ever come out of U of A's video department, and they've done some really, really good things. Because this has dual meaning. You're referencing a movie that a lot of college kids, even though it's a little bit older, have seen, you know, and you're also trying to convey the point that so many schools are fighting. Don't leave the stadium. When it's time for kickoff, leave your tailgate. Come into the stadium. When it's 45-20 with 4 minutes left, don't leave the stadium.
Problem
Stay
is, usually,
in the stadium.
Usually U of A football has the 20 in that 45.
It doesn't matter.
Problem
it's
is.
Just one of those things. And most schools do that. Not all schools.
Yeah.
But, you know, the game's over. It's Saturday night. Let's get out of here. That's the last thing an AD wants to see.
All right. I'll buy that. Okay. That's great. He's trying to reach the students.
I don't think you not just the students, everybody. But it's aimed at the students.
But you know where people are in this day and age? I hear people that care more about how was the game? Oh, it was fine. I had a pain in the ass trying to find a place to park. Parking has like become this big thing. If you don't have good parking, you're just not going to go, or you're going to bitch and moan about it, I find, rather than the game itself. You know, it's like Todd was a little wound up earlier this week over a few fans or people on message boards getting on them because, you know, they didn't blow out Northern Arizona University. Hey, come on. That's great to release that with Grambling State coming, but come on. As much as a fan of the band as I am of Grambling State, they're going to blow Grambling State out.
Well, of course.
They're not going to have anybody there.
Everyone's going to, and everyone has a game like that.
And
everyone
they have Hawaii next week, right?
Yeah. Which is another win.
And that's in Tucson.
It's in Tucson.
So the next few weeks, it's not going to matter, right? I mean, they're playing. Look, these are smart games. You're playing Grambling State because you need a game to clean things off after a tough opener with BYU. Smart scheduling. You're playing Hawaii because you go to Hawaii and you recruit and you do a really good job of recruiting players out of Hawaii, out of Samoa, out of Tonga. You do a great job of recruiting. But you're going to be 2-1. The real deal to push that is when they have their big games in Tucson, I think.
I don't. It's their home opener. I mean, you can't. And he teased this like this is something that they've been working on for like 2 or 3 months.
What do they think they get? 45,000?
I don't know. I mean, yeah, maybe. U of A does draw pretty well even for bad games because it's the only show in Tucson.
But here's the thing, Eric. And look, earlier this week, they get a commitment from the number one basketball player in the country.
Yep.
On their Twitter feed, the day on Monday, on Labor Day, I saw on their Twitter feed, U of A basketball, counting down the days until basketball starts. Until the football program. Now, they played in the Fiesta Bowl. Okay, I'll give them that. Played in the Fiesta Bowl a couple years ago. But until the football program does it year after year after year, DeAndre Ayton committing to play basketball in Tucson is a much, much bigger deal than U of A football.
Even if U of A football does win consistently, I still think U of A basketball will be bigger.
No, I agree because they built that brand
Correct.
Up. That brand is
Correct.
So strong. And it almost felt like when basketball was up there, it's, yeah, football lost, but we're right around the corner. Don't forget about us. Had a little bit of this going on.
A players program is something that they've aligned with U of A basketball, which is very smart, and they make it very obvious that look at all the players that we've sent to the NBA.
Sure.
I mean, they're much more proactive in promoting certain aspects of their basketball program than they are their football
program. But yep. Greg has tried on the football end.
He has.
So and things like this are smart.
Well, and they're getting the stadium's nicer. It's not where it needs to be, but it's not a lot nicer than it was 3 or 4 years ago.
Yeah. See, I think ASU draws their usual 52 to 55. It's too bad because we see Texas Tech as big-time college football. Like, this is a really, really good
yep.
intersectional matchup.
Yep.
You have a Heisman Trophy quarterback, potential dark horse. I'm a voter. I'm going to the game to see Mahomes. I'm not going to the game to see how Manny Wilkins progresses from week one to week two.
Yeah,
get on my case about that. It's fine. I'm going to see that anyways. This is my only chance to see a Heisman Trophy dark horse. I've said on this show, I think Kalen Ballage could be a Heisman Trophy dark horse before he gets done at ASU. I really believe that. He's a special, special talent. But they're still going to draw their typical 52 to 55. You've got New England and the Cardinals here Sunday. And so ASU just has not figured out how to capitalize on that. I'm not bagging on both programs.
But is 52 to 55 bad?
In my view,
is that
view,
a
yes.
bad crowd?
Yes.
Really?
In my
For
view,
a team coming off 6 wins?
Look, they're in the Pac-12 conference.
Uh-huh.
Okay? If we were to go through the attendance figures by school, would ASU be in the middle of the pack? Are those numbers inflated when they have the USC game every other
sure.
year, the UCLA game every other year, versus if you're in the Pac-12 North and you have Oregon State rolling in to play Cal? What's the attraction?
Right.
Right?
And they probably would be middle of the pack.
Yeah, I would think that, well, like I watched Utah last week, mm-hmm. okay? I watched Utah play, was it Utah State? I believe it was. No, Weber State.
I don't know. Yeah, I don't. It wasn't Utah State, but they did play someone I saw.
So I saw it too. I just don't recall.
Yeah, it's not important.
But the point is that Southern Utah. So, and that is important.
One of those directional
sure,
Utah schools.
They play a directional school. Utah packs them out. Colorado does not. U of A, ASU do not have sellouts.
But Utah Stadium's not that big. So,
is there anything else to do in Salt Lake City?
No,
there's no NFL.
But I mean, you just said 52,000 isn't good for ASU. I don't even think Rice-Eccles holds 50. So even though the stadium
they could probably put 60
full,
in there.
They could, but the stadium can't hold 60.
They have to build a bigger facility.
And we can also nitpick about tickets sold and butts and seats. ASU is going to say they got 55 when really they probably got about 48 or 49.
Yeah, and they get mad at us when we bring this stuff up, but we're just talking truth here. Sports360AZ.com on the other side, Goody at the Movies. That is next. Sully. Goody talks about the 10 biggest films he's looking forward to this fall. That is on the other side. Now, because you know what's going on in the world of sports, and I want you to have a life this weekend because you're going to watch a ton of football, but you need to go to the movies. It's time for Goody at the Movies. Bill Goody Kunz, chief film critic for Gannett, AZ Central media critic. Hello, Bill.
Hello.
So let's go through this. Sully, the plane goes into the pond, and they get out, and they all live happily ever after. Just like Titanic, the boat sinks. I'm looking at this on the surface.
I wouldn't say everybody lived happily ever after.
I'm sitting there looking at this, and I'm thinking, draw me in. Why do I need to go if I think I know how the ending is going to be, or am I just dead flat wrong?
You're pretty wrong.
Wow.
Tom Hanks is one big reason, and Clint Eastwood. What actually happens is, the as you say, there's no surprise about what happens in the incident. That means birds fly into the wings or into the engines. The engines fail. He lands on the Hudson. Everyone survives. 155 souls, as they always call them in airline stories. What the movie is about is actually what happens after. And don't get me wrong, they show the incident twice, and it is, I mean, it's gripping, especially the second time. And I don't want to necessarily say why the second time, but it's, I mean, it's like edge of your seat stuff, even though you know what's going on, or what will happen. But what you may not know, and what I didn't know, is that the National Transportation Safety Board had all these hearings shortly after where they really questioned if he had done the right thing. They insisted, and computer modules, which eventually, I mean, this is part of how it plays out, insisted that he could have made it back to two airports without landing in the water, which would have been much safer. The question is, could he have done that? And that plays out over the course of the movie. So there's a lot more than I realized mm-hmm. going on with that story.
And you like it?
Yeah, I liked it. It's pretty straightforward. It's a bit padded. I mean, the entire incident took, I believe they say, 208 seconds. And people were out, the rescue people were out of the water within like a half an hour. They had to be because the water was freezing. But there's some backstory and stuff that doesn't really belong in there. They pad it a little bit, but it's definitely worth seeing. And it's, who would have guessed, Clint Eastwood is really good at these kind of effects type movies. Like reenacting this plane crash, or not a crash as Sully insists, it was a forced landing. He's good at it. He was good in that movie.
Why do you think that is, Bill? Why do you think Eastwood's good at this?
I don't know. I mean, he's very efficient. Anybody that you talk to will tell you that he does stuff in very few takes. If he gets it, he's got it. Let's move on.
Mm-hmm.
But I think he is one of these guys that, despite what he sometimes seems like when he's like talking to empty chairs and stuff, I think as far as filmmaking goes, he just doesn't stop learning. I mean, I think he's a real student of great directors. He's worked for some great directors, and I think he's just become a really reliable director. You kind of know that you're going to get something really solid with him and maybe something better.
Other People, what is this one all about?
Other People. it's kind of a weird story. It's sort of semi-autobiographical for a Saturday Night Live writer who it's his first writing and directing gig for a film. Jesse Plemons, who was in Friday Night Lights and some other stuff, he plays the son of a woman, Molly Shannon, who is, this is kind of an odd thing to be good at, but she seems to be the go-to person for cancer comedies. I don't know if you saw Me and Earl and the Dying Girl, but I really like that movie. She played the mother of a girl dying of cancer. In this movie, she plays someone who is dying of cancer. And Jesse Plemons is her son. He comes back from New York to Sacramento to help take care of her, and things sort of happen over the course of the year. And it's one of those kind of things where it's small and it's not, you know, not a ton of stuff happens, but it's very relatable, and there's some humor in there. It's, if you like small kind of indie type movies, I would recommend it. I would also say that you would miss nothing if you waited until it came out on Netflix or you know, Redbox or something, because I mean, it really is. It's like a character study. It's not like, you know, there's not like car crashes and explosions. You got to see Sully on the big screen. You don't have to see this movie on the big screen.
Trans Pecos.
Now that I liked a lot. Trans Pecos. I did not know this. It's evidently this area in West Texas, kind of that no man's land that I was complaining about when I drove my kid to Dallas to go to college. Where there's just nothing there, literally nothing. And I'm sure that you've had this experience too, though, because you've driven those roads. At somewhere along the line, you're going to get pulled over. There's going to be one of those kind of makeshift stops by the immigration service, right? And they're going to and they check you out and they ask you, just, you know, you citizens, what do you got? You taking anything? And it's about these three guys who do that, and they're the officers. And one of the stops goes really wrong, and from there it turns into this really suspenseful kind of, you know, what's going to happen. And there's a lot of twists and a lot of turns and a lot of, you know, just monumentally bad decisions that are always good for movies. But it's really cool because it's like a movie about the border and about immigration and stuff that's not bogged down in politics. These guys don't have time for politics. You know what I mean? They're trying to stay alive on both sides of the border. And on both sides of this involves drug cartels and all kinds of stuff.
It looks good. I'm watching the trailer right now. It does look good. From there, let's go to your 10 biggest films you're looking forward to in the fall. The 10's a big number, but I'm sure you can do it.
I don't know if I can do it off the top of my head. I can tell you that, I've seen a couple. So that's sort of a cheat, right?
Yeah, I saw
Snowden. I saw Snowden, and I really liked it. And I saw Birth of a Nation, and I really liked that. But if there's one movie that I'm probably looking forward to more than any other, and this may sound weird, but not if you read about the buzz around it. It's this movie called La La Land, and it's Ryan Gosling and Emma Stone, Scottsdale's own Emma Stone.
Yeah.
And it's kind of a musical, and it's more. And I don't know why it's more, because I haven't seen it yet. But everybody who's seen it says, like, for instance, Tom Hanks the other day was doing a press conference for Sully, and in the middle of it, he stopped and talked about what a great movie La La Land was and how it's so completely unexpected and it's nothing like what you think and it's nothing that Hollywood would ever want, but that it's great. And I can't wait to see why everybody loves it so much, you know?
I'm going to see Snowden Monday night. I asked Eric. I think he's going to, you know, have to get a permission slip from his wife to go, as am I. But we will both like this, yes?
You will like this. I don't want to go too much into it right now, but I will say that it's Oliver Stone, and you know, there's a time when Oliver Stone was your dependable rabble-rouser. You could, like, count on him to, like, get people fired up on both sides of an issue. I think he's mellowed a bit, maybe gotten away from that a little bit, but this has him back in good form. And visually, it's really cool. It's really well done. Joseph Gordon-Levitt, who I talked to, actually, is quite good as Snowden. And I think that, without saying too much, I think the politics of the movie will probably surprise people.
No, we look forward to seeing that. I appreciate your time, as always. Be in touch. Thanks.
All righty.
There's Goody at the Movies, Bill Goodykunz, chief film critic for Gannett, media critic, Probably should have asked him about Monday Night Football with the debut of Sean McDonough, but we'll get into that next week.
And you know it's going to be good. It's Sean McDonough. He's solid.
No, I know. That can't get screwed up, can
it? No, I don't think so.
No, I'm not going to even think about what was there before in my own mind. I think this will be a really good booth. Sports360AZ.com. We partner with the Arizona Republic, AZ Central Sports. Plenty of content up on our website right now at sports360az.com. Arizona centric, high school, college, pro college, high school, makes no difference to us. If you missed any part of the show, it repeats for the next 24 hours, 48 hours, 72 hours on this site. Thanks for being with us.